This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I want to talk to you today from the subject of learning to be fast and slow. Learning to be fast and slow. If you live long enough, you'll look back over times in your life and you'll say, I should have acted quicker on that. I should have moved faster. Or you might say, man, I should have never gotten into that situation. I should have moved slower, right? And all of us have that in our lives. And the key is understanding that, hey, it is what it is. We don't cry over spilled milk. You got it? But the whole thing about revelation is that when I know better, I will do better. Everybody said, when I know better, I will do better. I was, my father was here in town a couple months back and just hanging out. He just came. He was kind of in the, not really in the area, as a state over. He wanted to swing by. And so he came by and we all went to breakfast and we were downtown at Baker's. And so when we came out, we have this thing that when we get done, we're not really done. We just move from one location to the next, right? And so we're done. And now we're on the sidewalk for 20, 30, 40 minutes just talking and everything before he takes off. And then there was, I don't know, I don't go downtown a lot. There's a gentleman downtown and he's always playing the guitar and he's so y'all know him, right? And so we're just talking and then all of a sudden he sings this song that sparked my father's interest. It says, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. Y'all know that song, right? And so boy, and we got video of them singing. I almost played it for you today, and they were just having a good time and those kind of things. And it kind of made me think as I was teaching this lesson, you know, when do you move fast and when do you move slow? And so although that song does not have much spiritual value, Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter and the 6th verse actually teaches us something very similar. It says there is a right time and a right way to do what, class? Everything. And you got to get that. There's a right time and a right way to do everything. Watch this now. But he in Ecclesiastes says, but we know so little. Now, please understand, this is the Old Testament. This is before Jesus has died, shed his blood, and left the gift of the Holy Spirit for us. Now we have the Holy Spirit that is not only with us, but he is in us. So now we don't have to say we know so little, because if the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, how many know he can lead us? He can guide us. He can direct us, so we'll know when we need to move fast and when we need to move slow. Does that make sense? So today I want to show you from Scripture the times in Scripture that the Word of God teaches us when we should move fast and when should we should move slow according to God's Word. And so I'm going to give you four areas that we should move fast in. I'm going to give you four areas that we should move slow in, and then we're going to take it from there. Are y'all ready to dive in? All right, so I'm going to give you the areas we should move fast in. So real strong, everybody say number one. Number one, we should move fast when God tells me to do something. When God tells me to do something. Psalms 119 and 60 says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your command. So we said, number one, when do I move fast? When God tells me to do something. And our scripture is kind of neat because it says, I will hasten or I will move fast, right? Not to delay. Watch this, to obey your commands. And so the writer says, if it's one thing that's going to be at the top of the list, it is your word. I'm going to obey your word. I'm going to obey your commands. And so we should do this, whether it is the Logos word, which is the written word that we find in Scripture, where the Bible tells us to do this and tells us to do that. And then the Bible say, don't do this and don't do that. And so you have to make sure that in those areas, I'm obeying the word of God. Everybody say, obey God. And so not only is it through the Logos word, the written word, but it's also through his Rhema word. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us, hey, do this and say this, but don't do this or don't go over there. And we have to make sure that we're really doing what the word is teaching us to do. I've taught you years ago that that when we obey God, we should obey God with deliberate speed. You got it? The reason we obey God with deliberate speed is because it is beneficial for our lives, because God is never going to tell us to do something that's going to hurt us. He's only going to tell us to do things that are beneficial for our lives, right? Sometimes we miss God because of our delay or our disobedience because we moved too slow and didn't do what God told us to do. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, I normally always read this scripture to you in the KJV because I love the scripture in the KJV, but I was studying and I go to a couple different translations and even a paraphrase or two, and in the NLT, it was really good too. And so in the KJV, it teaches us that all scripture is inspired by God and it is profitable. So the word of God profits us. And that's really why I like to read the KJV, because it shows me that the word profits us. Most people like profit, right? You got it. And so, watch this. But in the NLT, it says all scripture is inspired by God, is God breathed. We know that. And it is useful. So it profits us and it is useful for what, Pastor? To teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So that is why, and I'm not knocking people when I say, you know, you don't have to read a book from Dr. Phil. I'm not knocking the person. Y'all understand? But what I'm saying is, really, you don't need any other book. You need the Word of God. And to the degree that you will go to the Word of God, the writer says it will help me to realize, you got it, what's true and what's wrong. If you keep reading, it says the Word of God corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what's right. So that is why with deliberate speed, I have to obey God. Now, verse 17, watch what it says. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And so number one, when to move fast, when God tells me to do something. All right, everybody say number two. Number two, when to move fast. When do I move fast, Pastor? When I need to ask or offer forgiveness. When I need to ask, watch this, or offer forgiveness. And so, forgiveness, can be tough sometimes, but how many know it's necessary? And it's not something that we can bypass, you got it, because God is all about reconciliation, isn't that right? And so Matthew, the 23rd chapter, when I teach forgiveness in that area, there are some other scriptures that I just have really learned, understand, and I use those. I just learned this one, really. I mean, I think I've always kind of known the scripture was there, but it really just spoke to me in the past couple years. Watch what Matthew 23 says. It says, if you enter your place of worship... Everybody say WLCC. Now, you know that doesn't mean just WLCC. It can be your prayer closet in the morning and those kind of things. But you know, I like to make everything personal, right? You know, and so, but if you enter your place of worship and you are about to make an offering, all right, and you suddenly remember, and I submit to you, it's not even that you just suddenly remember, it's that the Holy Spirit reminds you. You got it? You suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Do you know the writer didn't say you had a grudge against your friend? It says you notice or you remember that that a grudge is against you. He says abandon your offering. Leave it on the altar. Leave it immediately. Go to this friend and do what, class? Make things right. Let's say it again. Do what? Well, that was good. One more time. Do what? He says, make things right. Then and only then come back, watch this, and work things out with God. That is powerful. So the Bible, and we know how important an offering is. Scripture teaches us the importance of offering. But watch this. It's not just an offering, but when I'm offering it, my heart has to be right. You got it? And so the writer is saying, when you come and you're coming into your place of worship and you're about to offer. Now, thank God we're not in the Old Testament, so we don't have to, you know, bring she-goats and turtle doves and all those kind of things. And, you know, but what he's saying is when you come in and you do this, he's like, if you remember a grudge a friend has against you, he says, abandon it and go find that friend. And a lot of us have not been taught that. You got what we have been taught is that if I have a problem with my brother, I go to my brother. And if my brother doesn't receive me, I go and get somebody else and I bring them to my brother. Isn't that what the writer says? You got, so we understand that part, you know, if I have done something. But now the writer says, if you just notice that someone that you have a relationship with you is something ain't right, you got it. He says, you have a responsibility to go say, hey, is everything okay? because I want to make sure that I'm getting things right with my brother or my sister, as the case may be, right? Because I'm just going to tell you, I was not taught that. You know, can I be real honest with you? I was taught that if you got a problem with me, that's your problem. That's what I was taught. You know, like, you know, it ain't my problem. I ain't done nothing to you. But really, when you get into the nuts and the bolts of the heart of God and his desire for reconciliation, even if you haven't done anything wrong, because he understands that there may have been an offense that took place, and even though you didn't do anything, the Holy Spirit will keep them chained up because they're walking in offense. Here's the problem with people who are in offense. They don't even realize they're on offense. You tell them you're in offense. I ain't offended about nothing. Okay, you got it. And that's the problem. So that's why the writer says you go, watch this, because you're the one that has relationship with them. Watch this. And you go in hopes, watch this, that they'll bring their walls and say, well, yeah, I was kind of upset. You said, oh, I didn't mean nothing about it. And you work things out. Then you come back to your place of worship. Watch this. And after you work things out with your brother, work things out with God. Boy, isn't that good? I mean, that is good. So either way, whether asking for forgiveness or offering forgiveness, the Bible teaches us to work things out with those we have relationships with. It is not easy, but it's necessary. Does that make sense? All right. All right. So that was. So let's recap. When to move fast. Number one, when God tells me to do something. Number two, when I need to ask or offer for forgiveness. Everybody said number three. Here's a big one. When I feel tempted. When I feel tempted, all right? I'm going to go right to James, the first chapter, in the 12th verse. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. I don't have to ask how many love him. Everybody in the room loves God, right? And so the Bible says that endureth temptation. You got it? Now let's keep going to verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, watch this, neither tempteth he any man. And so I can't put it on God, right? And most people don't put it on God, right? What did they tell you? The devil made me do it. Well, guess what? That ain't scripture either. You understand? Because really, the devil has no power over your life. The only power he has is the power that you give him. Does that make sense? The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans that sin cannot dominate us because, watch this, we are no longer under the law, but we are now under grace. And when I'm under grace, it doesn't mean I do whatever I want to. When I'm under grace, it means that I'm now directed by the Holy Spirit, and he's telling me, don't go over there, but you come over here. Don't you say over there. Why are you trying to go out at 2:00 in the morning? You know ain't nothing good at 2:00 in the morning. And if I will follow the Holy Spirit, righteous, and the grace of God, it always leads me to the right place. Does that make sense? And so what happens is the devil didn't make me do it either. Verse 14 says, but every man, you know, that's not gender specific. We're equal opportunity around here, or women, as the case may be, is tempted when they are drawn away of their own what class? Lust and enticed. Then lust, when it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And that's why in verse 16, he says, don't get it twisted. You got it. Get an understanding of it. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And so what happens is typically if we get caught up in something, you got it, and you trace it back, it traced back to lust. But bottom line, it traces back to lust, right? Lust is an appetite that God never intended for us to have, all right? Let me help you. Because see, lust begins with the look. That's why window shopping don't work. See, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You got it. So, you know, no. You know, you married. I ain't going to mess with it. I'm just looking. No. Because when you look, you stir up desire. You got it? Hold on, Jimmy. Let's get a good one. Okay, we got it. All right. So when you look, you stir up desire. You got it. And if you're not careful, you're enticed and you follow through on something. And had you not looked and not pondered on it and went in the other direction, you'd have been saved from it. Does that make sense? You got it. All right. Everybody say, run, Forrest, run. that is what the Bible teaches us to do. Now, let me help you. Let me help you. When it comes to looking, it's not even just looking on something that I shouldn't look on. This principle is for every area of our lives, all right? I'm about to get some of my shoppers now, because let's say you have made it up in your mind, I want to be debt-free. I'm not overspending. I'm just going to pay my bills. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to save all my money. Well, you better take that little app on your iPhone called Amazon off your iPhone. Because Lord knows some of y'all be looking at that app, boy. So I'm not an Amazon person. I don't really buy stuff. You got, if I, you know, a lot of times, brothers, we know what we want. When we go to the store, we go right to get what we want. We already know how much it's going to cost, and then we right back out. You understand? My wife, you know, she likes to go places. She likes to go to places called Home Goods. And as we're pulling up, Doc, she gets so excited. Oh, I just love this place. You got, I mean, you know, for me, that would be like going to Ruth Chris, you got it, or a place in Charlotte called Steak 48, you understand? But she's like, she's like, do you want to go in? I'm like, no, babe, I'm going to stay right here and wait on you. I'm going to answer some emails, right? So the other day, I had to pull up Amazon. Matter of fact, I think it was this. I wanted one of these. I was just preaching for Pastor Eben a few weeks ago, and you know, my other one, this could fall off. And so when he had this, I said, oh, man, I need one of those. So when I got back, you know, he's like, man, don't buy it. I'm going to buy it for you. I was like, no, I'm just going to get it myself. So as soon as I got back, I said, let me get on this app. And so I searched it. I found it, right? And then I hit it to add cart. So now all I got to do is place order, right? And then, boom, it's going to do it. It's a good thing I looked, because they said there was 39 things in my cart. And I'm like, whoa, 39. I don't want 39 of these. It wasn't 39 of these. It was something lady was looking at one day over here and something lady was looking at one day over here. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had to keep myself together, because I almost got a little aggravated, because I just want to buy this one thing. And I'm trying to, I don't want to delete her stuff. You got it? Because she might want some of it. But Amazon even has this little button called save for later. They done thought of everything to get y'all's money. Yes, they have. So I very kindly, and lady will tell you I did. I think she knew I was a little razzled. I was like, babe, there's a lot of stuff in this cart. Like, do we need to buy all this right now? Like, do you want me to hit? She said, oh, no. And, you know, that's just stuff I'll be looking at. I said, oh, okay. Praise the Lord. So that looking can get you in trouble in a lot of areas in your life. All right, here we go. Y'all getting anything out of this? All right, when to move fast. Number one, when God tells me to do something. Number two, when I need to ask or offer forgiveness. Number three, when I feel tempted. And here we go. Number four, this is big, when I have the opportunity to do good. When I have the opportunity to do good. Babe, I need my phone. Or Chandler, I need my phone. I saw something that I'm going to post. And thank you, sir. And it just kind of, Holy Spirit just reminded me of it. I may post it tomorrow. Some stranger somewhere still remembers you because you were kind to them when no one else was. And so you have to make sure that you make it up in your mind that you're always going to do good. Doing good does not always mean giving somebody money. And giving money is fine, but doing good means being kind to somebody. Yeah, somebody's struggling to get out and they got a bunch of stuff. You go hold the door, you got it, when everybody else is just walking by. They've dropped stuff all over the place and everybody's walking by and you go down to help them. Does that make sense? I was in the airport heading to preach for one of my friends recently, and I was moving kind of fast, and I normally don't go to the kiosk. I normally just go, in the line. There's a in first class, you don't have to go. And this is why everybody should experience first class at least once in their life. You don't have to go and do all that stuff. You just walk in the line. They say, yes, sir, let me have your bags. And they do it all for you. You understand? And God wants everyone in this room to live a first class life. Does that make sense? Amen. That's a good place to clap. He does. He does. And I can't say for whatever reason, I believe it was Holy Spirit. I was like, I'll just get it myself, right? Because they had a bag drop. It was early in the morning. I was like, I'll get it myself. I'll drop the bags. You know, I don't care about the little orange tag that so everybody knows I'm in first class. I don't need all that. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't do it for you to see. I did it for my level of comfort. You got it? And so what happens, I'm going to do it, and the lady says to this young kid next to me, she's like, well, you know, sir, you need a card to pay for your bags. He said, I don't have a card. He said, but I have Apple, um, Apple Pay, right. And so he's, and you know, I'm not going to be mean. She wasn't the nicest. She got it. And she's like, well, you don't have anything? He's like, no, I don't have any. She's like, well, you ain't going to be able to get on this plane, or at least that bag going to be able to get on this plane. And immediately I said, hey, here, man, because I'm trying to type my stuff in. He's looking at me. He's like, well, can I send you Apple? I said, no, I don't need the Apple Pay. And so anyways, you know, I do that. I put it in my wallet. I don't think anything about it. You got it? He's still trying to he's kind of confused that I even gave him my card. I don't even know how much it was and those kind of things. But do you know, watch this, something like that makes an impression on somebody's life that the next time he goes to the airport to fly somewhere, he remembers, man, this guy one time just gave me because what happens is you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting someone's life in an amazing way. So watch this. When I have the opportunity to do good, always move fast. Always move fast. All right. Now, in my last 5 minutes, let me give you the four reasons when to move slow. When to move slow, number one, when I don't have the facts. Everybody in the room say, woo, child. Just say, woo, child. Say it again, woo, child. When I don't have all the facts. You got to be careful about that. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, and the second verse, you got to catch this, says, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. What does haste do, class? He says people ruin their lives by their own foolishness and then are angry at the Lord. So when we move too fast in life, we can make big mistakes only to get disappointed. And if we're not careful, we'll blame God. And that's why the Bible teaches us that we count up the cost before we do anything. You got it? All right. And so everybody say, slow down. Stay in your lane. Count up the calls, check all the boxes. All right. Now, can I take this point a little further? See, I use this point in terms of moving too fast when we make major decisions, and that's good. But how many in the room know we also need to make sure that we're not moving too fast in coming to conclusions or judging other people or other situations? Everybody say, woo child, woo child. Yeah, twice, right? Yeah, especially when you don't have all the facts. But I got a news flash for you. How about just don't judge at all? How about that's what the Bible teaches us? I can never understand that. You know, he done been here for 3 Sundays in a row, and I ain't seen that lady that came with him. I think that was his wife, because she did have a ring on her left finger, and they used to come in the beginning, you know, and she was always smiling. I ain't seen her, and he don't look too mad, so I don't know if he's happy because he got a divorce. It ain't your business. Like, why are we worried? I mean, and don't act like people don't do that, because people do that. But here's my thing, brothers and sisters. I got my own business to worry about. I don't have to worry about anybody else's. I got to make sure I'm working out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Isn't that right? Like, I'm trying to be the best I can be. And then I've got a wife who I've got to take care of. I got a son in Australia that I'm praying for. You understand? I got a daughter who thinks she's going to college next year, but I'm going to lock her up in the house. I ain't letting that girl go nowhere. Right. And so, but you have to learn that even if you see something, this is the key. If it's not your business, it's not your business. Just let it go. Pray that everything's okay with the person and move on about your life. If you remember, I used to have the principle here. I used to talk about it years ago in the early days when we set the culture for our church. It was the principle of everybody, leave everybody alone. You got it? Not a loan, loan. Just L-O-N-E. We's country around here. You understand? Just leave them alone. Like, so when you see them, be nice to them. Talk to them about sports or the kids. Introduce yourself. But when it comes to things that are personal, listen, leave it alone. Just like you don't want people in your personal business, they don't want you in their personal business. That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. Luke 6:37, it's the Bible. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Everybody say, Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven, all right? Everybody say, let it go. And leave it alone. All right, number two, when to move slow when I'm hurt or angry. When I'm hurt or angry, all right? How many in the room besides me ever been hurt? How many in the room besides me ever been angry? How many in the room besides me ever said something that you wish you could have taken back? All of us in the room, right? You got it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you fall out with somebody, you got it, or you have a disagreement or an argument, husband and wife, you know, things like that, and something is said, and I get it, you don't forget what people say, but you can't forgive what they say. And when somebody tells you, hey, I'm sorry, I was just mad, I really didn't mean it, if we're not careful, we don't believe it. Yes, you did, because it's what you said. You got it. But I've learned that if we have experienced times in our life where we've said something that we didn't really mean, isn't it possible that they said something that they didn't really mean? So just like we want someone to forgive us, don't y'all think we should forgive them as well? Does that make sense? So when I'm hurt or angry, I'm going to move slow, all right? James 1 and 19, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, all right? And then number three, I move slow when making major decisions. I never make a permanent decision based on temporary emotions. You got it. I always think things through carefully. I always think. So if you're mad, don't make any decisions. I'm telling you, if you're mad, you're upset, you hot, don't make any decisions. You got it. Cool down. Let the temperature come down from 157,000 million. You got it. And get it down, right? You got it. So, you know, sometimes you get so mad, you get a headache. Because it's all, you know, your blood boiling. You got it? Everybody say, calm down. Proverbs 4 and 26. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Watch this. And be steadfast in all your ways. When I make a decision based on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and I start going that way, I'm not moving from it. You got, unless God tells me to go left or go right, I'm just going to keep moving forward and I'm going to follow the word. Does that make sense? All right. And then our last one, this is a good place to go home. When to move slow. Watch this now. When waiting for a seed that I planted to grow. When waiting for a seed that I planted to grow. A lot of times we have visions of things and we're dreaming big for things and we'll sow seeds. I know our big giving day, that's one area. My wife and I can't remember. I know we sowed at least 25,000. I think we sowed more than that, but we committed to that. And so, but you got to understand, when we sowed that, we attached some things to that seed. There's some things that we are believing for. You got it? And watch this. Some of that has already come to pass since just April. But some of it has not come to pass yet. Everybody say yet. And so what happens is, don't move fast when the seed you planted has not yet grown. Take your time, be calm, stay in faith, keep confessing the word of God over that situation, all right? And know it is going to happen. It is going to come to pass. Habakkuk 2 and 3. If I was to back up and go to the beginning, it begins to tell you, you'll probably remember the scripture where it says, write the vision, make it plain, set it upon tables for those who read it can run with it. But verse 3 picks up, says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. The thing you're believing God for, that you got seed on, that God has directed you, you know God put it in your heart. If it has not come to pass yet, don't worry. It's going to speak and it's not going to lie. The writer says, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. So in life, there's times I need to learn how to move fast. But there's times I need to learn how to move slow. I've given you four on each way, but it's up to you every day to wake up and say, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me. Don't let me get ahead of you. Don't let me get behind you, but teach me to walk right with you, in rhythm with you, and in step with you, so I can see your glory in my life, so that me and my family and my children and my children's children can live an amazing life. Amen. Do y'all receive that on today? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand. Praise all over the building. Amen. Let's pray. We've already done our appeals, but let's pray. Father, I thank you for this lesson today that you've given us. And I know it was good seed that fell into good ground. And Holy Spirit, we are trusting you to lead us and to guide us into all truth. We are trusting you to give us the wisdom that we need for the days ahead, to lead us into a plain path, the path of peace, a path of prosperity for our lives, a path where there's nothing missing and nothing lacking and nothing broken in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We declare in the name of Jesus that our best days are not behind us, but our best days are ahead of us. We declare in the name of Jesus that even on this week, we're going to see your favor shine on our paths in incredible ways. We declare in the name of Jesus that that uncommon favor, that unusual favor, that unexplainable favor that we've been praying for, that we've been believing, that even though some of us have might not yet seen it, we're not going to move too fast. We're going to take our time and watch it develop and come to fruition in our life, because we know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. So we thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the room.